Welcome to the special episode of the TIFO Football Podcast. I'm here joined by Seb Stafford-Bloor. Hi, Seb.
Hi, Joe.
Seb and I did something this week, which was a lot of fun for us. We spoke to Ryan Hun and Musa Kwanga from our favourite football podcast, Stadio, which is a Ringer podcast and you can listen to on Spotify and elsewhere. They're terrific. We listen to that show all the time, in addition to listening to shows from The Athletic, of course, which are also excellent. That sounds like I don't mean that, but it is true.
They're excellent.
But we figured it'd be a great time to do it, because apart from Totally, the Totally Football Show, which is the other off the weekend show at The Athletic, hosted by James Richardson, now that TIFO isn't going to be off the weekend anymore, we figured we would introduce our audience to a couple of replacements for it. Totally is one, and you can watch video clips from that online as well. And this is the other one. This is Stadio. It's not Athletic affiliated. It's just great. I wish it was. It'd be great if they were part of our team.
It really would, because it's a great podcast, but they're also two of my absolute favourite people in real life. So yeah, it's very nice to see them doing well, but them producing something which, when I'm walking around in Germany or I'm exploring them on trains, pop their podcast on, because it's like sitting in the middle of a conversation between Musa and Ryan. And I've done that in real life, and so I can honestly say it's kind of the same. And
tell the audience who they are.
So Musa is, goodness me, Musa used to have a long time back now, but he used to have a business card which was almost like an A4 sized business card, because he does so many different things. He's a writer, he's a poet, he's a musician, he's all kinds of other things. I suppose Ryan by trade is audio producer. He was a DJ for a long time. Music technician, I think, is probably the right way. But also an absolutely brilliant podcaster and writer. Ryan doesn't probably get enough credit for the writing he does on The Ringer too. So go and look at that. Musa gets plenty of credit, but yeah, Ryan probably deserves
Musa
a bit more.
Musa gets more than enough, doesn't he?
Yeah, we need to even that balance out a little bit. Yeah. But they're great guys, and they are both based in Berlin. So I kind of try and check in on them when I go down that part of the country. But they're great. And actually, we do talk about this on the podcast, but very nice mood to it, you know?
Yes, that is true. And it's worth saying at the outset, this is not really a football podcast. This is kind of a chat with the guys from Stadio. We exchange process notes. We talk about how TIFO is a bit different to Stadio, and how and why it is, how the podcasts are made, those sorts of things. There's a really bit of football chat in it, but I think it's mostly
culture,
relatively really self-indulgent industry podcast discussion. So if you're interested in that, stick around. But yeah, we both highly encourage you to listen to Stadio. Add it to your podcast rotation. Give it a try, because it's a really terrific show. Fine. Well, I guess without further ado, then let's listen to the conversation that we had with Ryan Hun and Musa Kwanga from Stadio Football Podcast.
Hi guys.
Hello.
This is fun.
Yeah, I know. It's nice, isn't it? You were just saying, Ryan, about how you aren't ending your podcast. And I was saying,
but you are.
No, but I mean, it's terrific that you're not. I'd be very, very upset if you did. I can't imagine if one of my favorite podcasts has changed completely.
I don't know when to talk. All my rhythm is off. Isn't that interesting?
Well, hang on. There usually are four of you on the pod, no?
Yeah, but different people with different speech patterns, you know, different tendencies. Also, I feel happy just cutting across the people I usually record with. This time, I feel like there's a degree of reverence in the studio.
Oh, there he is. I don't. It's begun already.
The first question is, Seb, have you eaten?
So I have eaten about 3/5 of my cereal. I've eaten enough whereby I'm not going to get hungry, but not so much that the bowl of cereal that hasn't been finished doesn't look quite appetizing in front of me right now, just sitting in front of my computer screen. So kind of I've hit the sweet spot.
Peak cereal.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't listen to TIFO, well, you've missed. Well, no, you haven't missed the good stuff, because I suppose there are more. the podcast is carrying on, and we'll probably talk about it in a little bit, but Seb was very hungry at the last episode, and apparently it was a really, really long recording. And you could just hear Seb just being like, let me out of here.
It was a bit like that. I'm glad you picked up on that, Ryan, because, you know, in my head, we in the TIFO podcast, we tend to record the intro at the end after we know what we've talked about. And it had been quite a long day, but it was the last time the four of us were ever going to get together in that sense. And so in my head, I was thinking, well, it's a nice opportunity to speak directly to the audience and to, you know, to have a bit of a cathartic moment after years of being friends in front of people. Whereas Seb really wasn't interested in that at all. Seb checked out 6 months ago, and he mainly wanted to go to Pret and get one of his regular lunchtime sandwiches, didn't you, Seb?
There was a lot of fuckery going on, and I didn't like it.
Why does that sound like a line from The Thick of It?
It's your line. It's your line. I was actually on a U-Bahn into the center of Hamburg, listening to a Stadio. That night. That's not a humble brag. It's just a, I don't know.
Wow. No, we'll take it. We'll take it.
Quite cool. I laughed out loud at that Berlin, so. In a kind of an English sort of way. And the sort of the other U-Bahn passengers sort of looked around and kind of gave me a bit of a
dirty look. Oh no. Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. What time of day was it?
Mid morning.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
No one was happy because they were seemingly on their way to work and, you know, and yeah, it wasn't the time for laughter. And, you know,
it wasn't the time.
Can I be honest? Hamburg is a bit of a catfish city because it's utterly beautiful, right? And it's lovely and it's sunny whenever I visit. And the moment I think about living there, it starts hammering down with rain. The moment I spend more than like 3 nights there, it clatters down and I'm like, ah, the true self comes out.
This is Northern Europe. After scurry back to Berlin. We are only an hour away from Copenhagen, so yeah.
Dude, I grew up in Manchester. That's like heaven to me.
Copenhagen catching strays.
Just, oh, bring it on. So, I don't know why did we decide to do this? Joe and I were talking a while ago when you were talking about ending the pod in the current format.
Yeah.
And we were like, we have to do something.
I think it's mainly because I wanted to, because I listen to Stadio. It's the only football podcast that I really listen to, apart from the occasional informative athletic one. And I wanted to insert myself on it. That's it. I sort of thought, you know, when you listen to a famous person or something, you think, oh, I should be their friend. And I will be. I'll send them an email and I'll do, you know, something will happen. This is kind of it. I wanted to appear down the Stadio feed. All the Stadio listeners, the cool people who thought they'd escaped Tifo.
Oh, no.
No, you haven't. You haven't. Because I'm here now. You can never evade me. But largely just because I just love your show. I think what you guys do is great. It is, you said before, is it okay to talk about why we're not doing the Tifo podcast anymore? And I said yes. And genuinely, you might think I'm lying now. One of the reasons is because every time I listen to Stadio, I'm a mixture of I really enjoy it and I'm just furious about how much better the football chat is than what I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
no, no, no. Right, yeah, honestly, wait, I really think all, that.
No, we need to stop this because
yeah, exactly.
It's true. No, it's true because particularly when it came to, so one of the things about Tifo that was really fun was that, you know, Seb and I and JJ and John would have a great time and we would do silly really well. And we'd laugh a lot and very thankfully we'd make lots of, you know, lots of our audience would feel the same way about it and enjoy it too. But as Seb, you know, Seb moved to Hamburg and as we started to record in a studio and he was the only person who was remote, it was a lot harder for him to join in the fun, just in the same way as if you're, you know, you're on a Zoom call and everyone else and your meeting is in the office or whatever. That's quite a difficult dynamic. And Seb, as listeners will know, is the guy who helped us cover anything semi-serious. So if there was ever a situation that we wanted to speak about but wasn't funny or wasn't to be made fun of, Seb was kind of central to that, right? So as Seb sort of stopped participating in the podcast as regularly for those you know, aforementioned understandable reasons, our ability to cover anything other than like, you know, stupid stuff, I think dropped heavily. And then I would, the same week, I think, ah, oh, we didn't cover that well. And then I'd listen to Stadio and I'd be like, oh, fuck's sake. These guys have nailed it. It's so annoying.
But also though, you have John and JJ and obviously before that, Alex as well, who will do really, really, like we watch loads of Tifo videos. We listen to a load of the stuff about it's the tactical so breakdowns as well. Yeah. Let me give them many a shout out.
Yeah, they're so good.
So I think it's just like, I think one of the things that I was quite interested in talking about on here, we talked about before was that, to me, Tifo and Stadio feel like very different things, but there is like a crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's because of Moussa Okwonga, who, for those who don't know, Moussa used to be on Tifo back in the day, right?
Listen, I was there before it was cool. Old heads remember the UMAX days. Listen, yeah, actually, I did a couple of the animated, well, I did the voiceovers and text, a couple of animated videos. My favorite one's still the Iniesta one. I love doing
that
with you.
Like, beautiful.
It was a pleasure working with you all on that. Yeah. But I want to sort of just say, Joe, that's your reasons, obviously, they make sense and they're quite sad in a way because they're very self-aware reasons. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a, when Benzema like left Madrid, right? It was like because he felt a slight drop in his performance level, right? And most people don't notice. And then most people would be like, you can put work out and like most people listening, they're gonna be happy with it. But you yourselves are gonna be like, oh no, that's not what we nailed. We didn't nail it. And then over time, you're like, you appraise your performance and people can say what they like about your work and your performance, but you internally among yourselves, you're like, there's a bar we have to hit. And if we're not hitting that bar, then we don't. And that's sad for me, like, because I love listening to your stuff and watching it. I'm not to make this into like a praise fest because listeners might roll their eyes, but I genuinely mean it. The stuff you've done, JJ videos, John's videos, Seb's analysis, your sort of comparing hosting and the live stuff is great. For me, it's sad to see that. I'm just saying that on the record. It's sad for me to see that. But I also think there's a lot of integrity in doing it the way you've done it. And I don't want to sound like I'm just blowing smoke because people sometimes listen, sometimes, you know, get tired of that. But that's what I genuinely feel.
Oh, I like it. More smoke.
unlike Tifo, we don't do video, right? So we were like, Joe, we can do this, but we're not going to do video. And what listeners couldn't see was Joe was just like giving it the kind of like, more. Raise it, you know, try to hype the crowd up.
No, it's nice though, because like basically...
across his face as Musa went on.
Again, very aware that we don't want to make this a praise fest, despite the fact that we clearly like each other's podcasts. But it's, you know, it's one of the only nice comments I've had about this decision. Most people, understandably, if they're a big fan of the show, are unhappy about it. But there was one nice comment on the final studio show. It might have been the final live show. Somebody said it's very rare to see things go out at the top, and that's I love that. Like that's it is it's a sort of Simpsons thing, isn't it? That's how JJ
Since Wham broke up in the 80s has a British pop ensemble fallen apart with such dignity.
There you go.
Yes, listen, we had to take it there.
Do you know what? I really hope for both our sakes that our demographics are as such that a load of people just gone, who are Wham? Because otherwise we're all in big trouble.
That's the gap between the two circles, isn't it?
Counting on it,
I really hope so. We talked about how different the processes were with Tifo, with Stadio, because Tifo is obviously, you have all the kind of video element, whereas, and you mentioned, Joe, about how when Seb moved and having not having him in the room, it's really interesting because Moose and I haven't done a podcast. I mean, we've done one Stadio in the same room, which was in a hotel in
We did one in Berlin Airport,
we did one in a really tiny hotel room in France. Yeah. And since, apart from that, we haven't done a Stadio in the same room since the pandemic.
Yeah. Do you find it weird when you do it in the same room? Is it like the dynamic? Is it different when you're looking at each other?
It's harder to edit because there's too much bleed on the mics.
Yeah.
So you can't isolate. But for us, it became really normal. And actually, I think the fact that we made a really conscious choice, for example, I don't know if you guys want to go there, but I thought today might be quite fun for people just to actually hear a little bit more about like
process,
how we do stuff. But we, for example, we didn't ever really want to do video because first of all, we edit quite heavily. Mm. But for us, it was especially during the pandemic where everyone kind of like had this new rhythm, if that makes sense. So it was like, and we had a lot of correspondence from people saying that they listened to Stadio in a certain setting. It was either walking the dog every day or if they were doing the washing up or something like that. So you essentially like join, this might sound a little bit kind of like too, well, I'm trying to explain how I made the White Album, but it's just a podcast. But I really liked that idea of actually just being with people when they're doing stuff.
Yeah.
And you allow them to kind of fill in the gaps, right? But that's not to say that I don't like video. I think what you guys do and the way that you do video is amazing. It's also like, to me, is like truly terrifying because I'm not wild about being on camera anyway.
Mm.
When you guys did the daily live streams through the World Cup specifically, Moose and I, you know, we watched a lot of them and in the Euros. And I remember just watching them with awe because I think the pressure to do that is not something I think I could have done on Stadio. I think I struggled doing just audio podcasts in there. So having to be on in a physical sense, as well as an actual like content sense. I don't like that word, but I don't know how you guys did it. And it was like, Moose and I have spoken numerous times about how that's just something I don't think we could have done.
I think in that situation though, you activate a mode in yourself, which is not quite an autopilot, but it's almost a delirium because the nature of it means that you become fatigued very, very quickly. Mm. And there are short bursts of concentration that you require. Like, so whenever you're talking about, I don't know, Balkan politics, for instance, or you're discussing something of, you know, great sensitivity, you need to get that right. But then beyond that, you're in a room with people that kind of, I think, and this is going to lead into something I'm going to say about Stadio, but when you have chemistry with people, it's very calming, because you can also, like, Joe probably, when I'm speaking, Joe can probably tell when I'm getting into trouble or when I'm starting to move into deep waters with stuff that is, you know, which I'm ignorant about. At the same time, like, I feel like the great advantage of Stadio is, and I don't have a particular setting where I listen, but I like the fact that I know you're not in the same room. Because to me, Stadio is it's a podcast from the ether, right? Like, without being too pretentious about it. For me also, I move country. I live in the same place that you guys do. And so there's a little bit of detachment there that I like. And it also suits what you talk about, because you're jumping around Europe and you're talking about this, and you're perfectly informed about everything that's happened within a certain continent or time period.
It gives you more of an equal footing as a listener as well, because these guys aren't in the same place. Like, I'm also not in the same place, and then it feels like I'm not excluded from the room, like Seb is on the Zoom call. I'm just part of the ethereal podcast gang, you know.
Yeah,
that's quite nice. And I think, can I say this as well? Because I think, Seb, you're interesting, because you had to make the transition from doing stuff anonymously, right, and with no camera, and you had to make that shift. How was that going from, you know, being basically behind a kind of an alias to doing stuff in front of camera, because that's something you've really managed to do? What was the main challenge in sort of coming out from behind that and doing the video as well as the audio?
Well, I mean, I suppose I was sort of behind a veil, because I never really intended that to become any sort of profession. It was a hobby around the job at the time. And that's going way back. Like, I think, you know, I spoke about this and sort of 2010 World Cup or something. But I think for me, it's always been the private school thing, double barrel surname, accent.
Yeah,
and you're never quite sure how you're going to be received, and like, there's still a bit of animosity in here and then, and I get that. I can't promise that if the boot was on the other foot, I wouldn't be exactly the same. So it was an opportunity for me to, whether this was in my own head or in reality, it was an opportunity to be myself without kind of confronting all the assumptions I had about the way I'd be received. But again, like, it's been pretty easy, because at Tifo, I'm just one of the people in the room. It's never really about me. And so you're just part of an ensemble, or a chorus, whatever. And so that makes it a lot easier. Like, I'm like, Ryan, I'm not comfortable in front of camera. And I couldn't do it without the other guys, really, or without sort of the attention being spread across the room.
The thing is, you can, though. I mean, Seb did we experimented with some live streams before we started to do this for the podcast about a year ago, maybe longer. And every Sunday, Seb would do a live stream literally on his own.
Oh yeah, my God.
From
I remember.
His bedroom.
Yeah. From his little, like, attic.
With one of my cats chewing the cable.
And he would talk for 20 minutes and he would respond to the audience comments, and like, he's a total fucking natural. And you know, he says, like, what him being himself is literally the only requirement of putting someone in front of a camera in 2022, 2023. It's like, everybody is so, you know, like, younger audiences, and the people who, a lot of whom are engaging with the stuff that we do in video, they are so aware of the difference between an advert and original content. Yeah. They're so aware about who's being authentic and who's being inauthentic when they're being lied to. You know, it's just built into their brain to watch out for that stuff. And so, you know, when viewers come upon someone like Seb, who is just completely exactly the same on the podcast or on videos as he is in real life, it's a total breath of fresh air. He never is doing anything. He never, like, intentionally heightens it for the sake of the audience. He never lies with his performance. Like, it's the purest kind of performance that you get. And people love it.
Even when I'm hungry.
Like, I will tell the audience when I'm hungry.
Can I say on that, question, it's not a Q&A, but I thought I might as well get in there. So Joe, how did you actually, like, decide on the tone for Tifo? Because you're across all these different platforms and you do cover stuff in, like, real depth, like, you go into, like, real tactical depth. So how did you work out to strike a balance? What was the process behind thinking on that?
sort of wasn't really any thinking. I think that's the thing.
That comes across. That comes across.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's good. The TIFO podcast is a sort of, a good or an okay reflection of a mixture of, and this is going to sound very corporate now, so apologies to the listeners, but it's a good reflection of a mixture of like the core brand values of TIFO, which are largely to be curious and to not shy away from the curiosity and to assume that people will find an interest in learning something, right? Like that's kind of all that is required to make a TIFO video. And then also a reflection of our personalities and the way that JJ and I and Seb and John and Ruben, the baby boy Pinder, are in a room is how we would be in a room without microphones and without cameras. And that's quite nice. There's not really a filter in that sense. There's a little bit of emphasis on some of those elements, and like there's a bit of stagecraft, like but generally speaking it's pretty authentic. I would say as well, you know, and this is kind of a bit of a deeper reason as to one of the contributing reasons as to why we want to change the podcast into something else, is because what the podcast became over the last 6 months. Like I decided that we were going to do that just after the World Cup. I think we'd actually, hung around with you guys a couple of times during the World Cup.
Yeah.
And it was about halfway through the daily live streams that you were just talking about. I decided I'm not doing this again after the end of the season. And after conversations with JJ, John and Seb, we decided that the best thing to do would be to reshape it. And one of the reasons for that is because we created a really fun product that people love, and where, you know, silliness kind of plays like a much higher or much bigger role than it did a year or two ago. And that's great. But if we're being honest with ourselves about the kind of central mission of TIFO, it's not hugely reflective. At least it's like there are elements of it that definitely are, but the elements that aren't were kind of growing in size because of like just our natural personalities and also how tired we are on a Monday and, you know, sort of like how much time we actually have to prep. I mean, you know, the reason, as I said to you guys before, that I'm so impressed every time I listen to Stadio is because I have no clue how you're able to jump country to country and do the analysis that you do. Like, I cannot even imagine having to just read that shit off a plan. That's the thing. When I listen to that and I think, oh, it's like... it's so annoying.
It's interesting. Sorry, that's interesting. You said plan, because actually, talking about processes, we don't have like show plans.
Yeah,
we have a little WhatsApp where we're like, should we do this first? Do this, this, and this, and then. Usually, most of the jumping is just done under roundup,
right?
And we'll just kind of figure stuff out. But this is kind of going back to the beauty of not having to be on, because we're like, well. My process, because I produce for the people who don't know, my process has always been let the conversation happen.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's the second or third time that you reiterate a point that it goes in an interesting direction. And if you're on the clock, I mean, we kind of keep to a loose structure. Yeah. Sometimes we've struggled and sometimes we've gone way too long. But if we find that if you're on the clock, sometimes you lose a little bit of the
natural.
I don't want to say magic, but that kind of, some of the best stuff I think that's happened on Stadio that I've looked back on and been like, yeah, that was really good, was kind of stuff that if we were on the clock, we wouldn't have done. Like the one that springs to mind, which is probably one of my favorite Stadio bits, was that it was one of the first What If episodes, and we were talking about if Poland had beaten Germany in 74, and we ended up, if we were on the clock, we never would have got there. But the original recording was probably about 25 minutes just on this section. And we eventually got to the point where we questioned whether the Soviet Union would fall apart as quickly.
How like, we got away with that?
To me, that just wouldn't have happened, for example, if you were like, if you had a producer being like, move it on.
Yeah.
Yes, that's loads of extra work for me. And we are literally a two-person crew. Stadio is Musa and I. There are a lot of people, I think, who think there are other people involved. There aren't. It's Musa and I. So it's a lot of work, but I think that in terms of what we wanted the podcast to actually be, it kind of suits it. Does that make sense?
Well, here's I want to ask a question of you guys, because You have a you have a fantastic chemistry, which is, I mean, you know, I would say like definitely one of the biggest reasons that the show works to listen to. What do you disagree about? Do you have any regular disagreements? Are there, or do you see things fundamentally differently in any area?
I think, yeah, disagreeing. I mean, actually, I think the thing is we fundamentally agree on most stuff. Like we might disagree. I think the things we might disagree on, let's for example, sounds like a small example, when Norway played England in the Euros, right? Women's Euros. Mm. And I had an interpretation of the game that's very different. So I was like, I felt like Norway could have taken that. If they'd taken the lead, then it's a changing game. Whereas you were like, no, actually England would always control. So we sometimes read matches differently in terms of like moments, momentum. We might read things different in terms of like how pressure's happening in part of a game. So we'll actually disagree sometimes on like reading, I think, stages in a game, what turning points were, which is quite good for conversations.
When did you guys first realize that there was that chemistry between you? Because like I think regardless of what you're podcasting about, like the great strength of Stadio is that chemistry, that kind of conversational aspect to your relationship and where you can go and where you can kind of prompt each other to go. When did you first think, okay, we're friends, but we could also do this. Like we could also have this gear.
I don't think we actually met for a coffee. Ryan had heard something I'd done on the Askcast. And so we went for a coffee and Ryan had an idea for a podcast and was like, I think you'd like to get involved. So Ryan actually thought it would work in terms of a podcast before I had an idea of it. And we just met for this coffee at this, a cafe that should remain nameless because...
This is in Berlin though, right?
Yeah, we met for a coffee. We played football in the same club in Berlin, just different teams within the club.
Ryan at a far higher level.
Just behave. That actually, I think, was the first time looking back now where I was like, okay, we're going to be friends and B, we could probably do something together someday. Because we just sat at this cafe in Berlin, in Boxhagener Platz, and just chatted. And we were there for like 4 hours and we'd meet once a week, once a fortnight. It was Musa who got me writing about football. And then, yeah, basically something came up with somewhere else and we got involved with that. And then that ended after a year and then we started Stadio. And it was very much kind of like, Musa is busy. He has written a load of books. He was writing for ESPN. He's Musa Okwonga. People know who he is. I don't think he needed Stadio at the time, whereas I kind of really did.
It's the first thing I've ever done that's quickly become something. It's literally the first thing I've ever done that has met with like...
He's probably written a book while we've been recording this. No, he says that. It's actually rubbish. God. Massive lie.
God.
It's probably been like given the freedom of a city or you know, an honorary fellowship somewhere.
Wow. No. It's always your own people. No. Wow.
Joe, you've mentioned something there that I wanted to circle back on because I think it's really interesting about how like the core, like the kind of like the core values of TIFO and what you all of a sudden kind of realized.
As a shop window, it had different products in place than that what were in the shop.
And it's really interesting because Moose and I have had the very same conversation recently where because Stadio was never just supposed to be a podcast, that was never the goal. It was supposed to be one part of what made Stadio. But one of the things that became really evident, especially when the pandemic hit, was we were doing these Stadio sessions, right? So we were doing these like live streams, music with football, like clips of football commentary over it. But the cool thing about it was we did it on this platform called Mixalot and it has a chat room. So you just had everyone who was a Stadio listener chatting to each other in the chat room and you could see where everyone was from. And I think at that point in time, it goes back to what you're saying about like not doing the video thing and feeling connected because we're all kind of not in the same place. It was really cool to see a load of people at quite a scary time. You know, we didn't know as much about what was going on as we do now. Just kind of in the same place digitally.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that over the next year, we've not really talked about this on the podcast, but we're aiming to announce a few things over the summer or before next season that in addition to the podcast, a few things that shift the focus back onto the community aspect of it. Because I think that was something that was really important to us about Stadio. And if I'm being honest, I think it's something that has felt lacking since Twitter has just died a death.
Oh God, yeah.
You know, we felt that community on Twitter because it was just everyone was very connected. And since that's gone, it's felt like it's been hard to gauge. I mean, it is still there, I think, but I think at the end of this kind of season that's been so exhausting for everyone, in a combination with Twitter dying, it's kind of felt a little bit I wouldn't say we felt lost at all. It's not that dramatic, but it's felt different, you know, probably in the same way that you mentioned with Tifo.
Does your environment still feel calm? So when I listen, I have a kind of, I suppose, sort of a mental image of what other people listening are doing or saying or what they're like as people. And it always feels a little bit, I know you reference some of sort of the more obnoxious comments that you get on the podcast itself, but it always feels like a little bit of a safe space. Like it's sort of, the air is a little bit kinder around Stadio. Is that true? Or is that just an illusion from the outside?
It still is quite calm. Like, I think because when we critique, you know, the tougher issues, you know, be it the World Cup, be it like, you know, sports washing or whatever, or inequalities in clubs, we come at it from an angle of respect for the club, for the fans. I think it's respect for the fans first, and fans that we go, sometimes we go quite hard after the institutions, but they're like, we always try to do it with an element of care. And I think Stadio listeners are people that listen with care as well. So that filter, like, we don't have the kind of listeners, I think, that tune in just to kind of be angry, right? Which is, you know, there is a place for that. Don't get me wrong. There's a place for rage, and there's a lot of music I listen to that is just really about rage. You know, there's no problem, no judgment there.
But then this feels like the currency now, though. It's kind of you're involved in this dance where you provide the provocative opinion, which creates a space for somebody to crack back at you, and then it becomes a sort of this event that rolls around Twitter. So, for instance, right at the beginning of the season, we did a podcast where I think it was JJ and Joe were engaged in a conversation about Arsenal's performance. I think it was a North London derby, and it was kind of, the mood was very sort of lighthearted, and it became a thing. Like, the reaction to it was like,
yeah, I remember
it's very strange. The volume up.
But you were talking in the abstract about what football clubs do, and someone had just got hold of sort of a 10-second clip of it, which made it seem as if it was referenced specifically to Arsenal.
Yeah.
And it was like, in a way, you provoke all this frothing anger, but then a lot of people want to be involved in the frothing anger itself, it seems sometimes. Whereas I think, I won't speak for Joe, but I think one of the appealing things about what you guys have done is it's just not like that.
Yep. And
it's like, I'm not being invited to react to something. You're not trying to prod my sensitivities or get at me. It's very respectful and very, without losing any of your opinions. Because you're forthright people. I know you both pretty well in real life. Maybe I've known you for
too long. My apologies.
A year on that.
My apologies.
No, I think, to be honest, Seb, I think from the beginning, I think first of all, it's an audience thing. I think Tifo is huge. Stadio just isn't. Mm. I think it's probably bigger than we thought it would be, but I don't think it's never, ever, ever going to be a Football Ramble, a Totally Football Show, a Guardian Football Weekly. Also, I think in the last 6 months, I don't know if you guys have felt the same, but I've felt myself detach a little bit and just actually, it used to really get to me, but actually now I'm kind of like, do you know what? Like, you're just not going to please everyone all the time.
Yeah, you can't nail everything.
Joe, seeing as as this has been the final season of your involvement in the Tifo Football Podcast, as its tyrannical leader. Joe behind the scenes, by the way, nowhere near as tyrannical.
True.
No, it's exactly the same. No difference whatsoever. It's no, not really.
He's a teddy bear. What have been the highlights, either of like the football or things that you guys have done this year?
That's a really good question. Not used to people asking me questions. Seb, do you want to pick up that first while I think?
Yeah, I think as a company, I think probably our high point was our pre-tournament coverage of the World Cup.
Yeah.
And the series that we released.
With James Montague.
It's written by James Montague, commissioned by Joe. I think it was illustrated entirely by Alice, am I right there, Joe?
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Wow. And I think it will always be the best thing we did, regardless of what we do now or in the future.
Wow.
I'm very, very proud of it as well. And Joe spent a lot of time planning it with James Montague, and it's marvellous. And I think that was my high point. I think actually, to be a little bit more subtle about it, I think that it was so well received was very heartening. Because it was critical and it was dense.
And it was weird as fuck. It wasn't
thought that this is not going to be a big performer. Yeah. and it was too niche. And we thought we kind of, I even think we actually scheduled content the week after to be a little bit more baity to make up for it, you know. Basically, maybe the wrong word, but there's a bit more sort of popular stuff, a bit more broad. In reality, it was very well received. So that would probably be, I'd say that probably be my high point.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think I would have, I think if I was thinking about the question in terms of the whole company, I would have gone straight to that, because obviously it's like amazing every time we work with James Montague. He's just one of the best guys ever. I love him. He's such a great writer.
Fearless.
And like, he's also a huge part of the reason why TIFO is what it is, despite the fact that, you know, you can't ever get him on the phone and he writes about four things a year, but he's so central to what we do. And
the Indiana Jones of football writing.
Very much so, yeah. He's been living on that for a decade, that man. He's just so brilliant. But in terms of the podcast specifically, just whenever Seb's been in London, which hasn't been that, you know, since World Cup, maybe been four times, but like there's this feeling you get when Seb's in the room with you doing the podcast. It's just different. I don't know how to describe it, but there's just something.
There's a hungry
feeling. There's something,
I think I came and watched some World Cup games with you when Seb was there, and I think I've been in the office when he wasn't. There is definitely a different vibe.
There is, yeah. It's not as much
make
fun.
It more boring.
It's kind of annoying that he lives in Germany.
It's like when the teacher goes out of the room and everyone's kind of trying to see what they can get away with before they come back.
It's true. Seb holds like a massive, he's like a huge source of gravity within the office. Like when he's there, people are kind of like pulled towards him, towards the kind of the right thing to do. Yeah, and when he's gone, JJ and I just scurry around the office like little kids, you know, stealing chocolate and stuffing our mouths. And I'll miss that stuff. And also I'll miss, on a slightly less serious note, being able to just off the top of my head come up with the stupidest possible nickname for someone and then have it stick for a really
the Goblin
long time,
King.
Right? Or
the Goblin King
is so stupid. Asking John to bark, I mean, bless him, John's such a sweetheart. Asking him to bark is like the meanest possible thing to do.
He made him do it in front of the live audience.
At the beginning, I was watching. I was crying.
So like, I'll be sad to let that go and also happy, yeah.
Are you missing JJ's chaos as well? Like he's like that. What's that? This is again a reference that shows my age, but that in a Back to the Future, the chaotic time traveling doctor/scientist. Yeah. I think that's
right. Is
JJ
Ball
the
Doc of TIFO?
Absolutely.
I think he is. He's like if Doc were, you know, Doc went back in time and was
and changed 30, tactics.
50 years younger. Yeah. Studied football tactics. So JJ has this quite funny ability to be sort of completely on point when his very own little Overton window crosses over the correct area. But if it's not there, it's just, there's no chance. Like whatever it is that he's thinking about or looking at, that's what he'll be talking about.
Before we go,
I have a hard out in 3 minutes, by the way. I didn't mention that beforehand.
Oh, right. Joe's got a hard out in 3 minutes. You know, yeah. All right. One answer. Favorite football thing from this year. Go.
Sacking of Antonio Conte.
Oh my God. You went there.
Napoli, particular that the friendship between Victor Osimhen and Kvaratskhelia, like Osimhen just
got hard out, Musa.
Yes, go for it, Joe. Sorry, Joe.
That's my least favorite thing about Musa. He fires off a load of gold where we're on a tight schedule.
No, it's good. I was glad for it because I was still trying to think about
he's like Prince. He's like a creative. He's just a creative vessel.
I would say. I loved the World Cup as well as felt very complicated about it. And sometimes I look back on the season and forget that it even happened midway through. But partly it is because I was with Seb and JJ and John and hung out with you guys as well a little bit. And, you know, it's just like every day it's a bit different to the other months. But there's something special about it, even though it was super complicated. So probably like the whole World Cup, I would say.
Wow.
I think my single favourite footballing moment this season was Reece Nelson's goal against Bournemouth.
Wow, yes.
Because I can't remember the last time I felt that way.
Yeah.
Favourite podcast moment, actually, I just want to shout out, was Chris Ryan's intro when we had him on. We were like, welcome Chris Ryan. And he just went, and I'm proud to be an American. All right, Joe's got a hard out.
This has been so much fun, though. I love you guys, and I love your show. And people will be listening. Well, I will have said this in the intro, and they're probably the outro again. But like, you know, TIFO isn't going anywhere, right? The podcast is still going to be there, but we're not doing off the weekend stuff anymore. And of course, there's the Totally Football Show, which is an athletic podcast, which does some off the weekend stuff as well. But in terms of tone, you're looking for something which isn't dissimilar to TIFO, and you want to hear off the weekend stuff. It's got to be Stadio, baby. Not Stadio, baby.
Joe is about to be called in to the office at the Athletic referring a non-athletic podcast.
If they listened, I would have been fired a long time ago. Yeah.
Guys, this was super fun. Love you. Thanks for coming on.
It's been amazing. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Bye, bye, bye.
Brilliant, guys.
Much love, gang. See you IRL soon.
That was us chatting to Ryan Hearn and Musa Okwonga from Stadio podcast. Hopefully this time when we record the outro, Seb won't just keep stopping his recording when he thinks we're done and we're not done. But did you enjoy that podcast, Seb?
I really did. You know, we've been talking about doing that for quite a while with Ryan and Musa, and it's taken us a long time to actually get it done, but it was really enjoyable. It's exactly what I hoped it would be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, we think they're terrific. We think you'll really enjoy their show on a regular basis. So in addition to going and checking out the Totally Football Show, if you haven't already, which is hosted by James Richardson and which Mr. John McKenzie appears on fairly irregularly as well, go and listen to Stadio with Mr. and Ryan, because we think you'll love it if you're looking for an off the weekend football show.
Has a really nice mood to it, Joe. We talk about this in the podcast itself, obviously, but like, it's a very calm environment, very rational, soft, easy. You know, it's not one of those provocative places where you're kind of straight off the weekend you're provoked into having opinions about your team or anything like that. It's really great. I've been listening for a long time.
It makes me feel like an adult.
Yeah, which is quite something.
Yeah, but it makes me feel like a youthful adult, you know?
Like, you've still got enthusiasm for stuff in life. Do you mean that?
Yeah.
Also, it takes quite a lot to do that to you as well, doesn't it?
I mainly listen for Musa Okwonga's laugh as well, which has happened a couple of times in this episode. Not as often as I would have liked, but if you listen to a normal Stadio episode, you will hear Musa laugh about 50 times, and it makes me smile every time.
One of the great laughs in the world.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Big time. Okay. Well, listen, things coming up on this feed. I think there aren't actually that many breaks over the summer, so most weeks there should be something for you to listen to. Nothing next week in the week of the 19th, but I think we have an episode ready to go on the 26th, where that's me, I'm back for that one, and I'm speaking to someone really interesting, so hopefully you'll find that fun. There's also a couple of Sensible Transfers episodes that will be going out in mid-July after that one on the 26th. Those will be John and JJ getting together and following up on the video series that they do on TIFO IRL, where they look at teams and they see the big gaps in the squads, and then they pick players that they think, you know, teams could refresh with in the transfer window. So those episodes will be a chance to go a bit deeper on the clubs that they're covering in video and talk about a couple of clubs that they're not covering in video. They'll be really, really fun. And then the new podcast format starts in earnest the closer we get towards the beginning of the season. I can reveal that I believe there is a very fun Spurs episode, and I think there's one on Manchester United and their refresh as well, both done with, you know, super, super smart contributors, and John is going to guide that conversation. You'll hear about those teams discussed in a way that you just really wouldn't hear on that many other podcasts, with quite a kind of a long view taken, let's put it that way. So do look out for those. They're going to be really, really fun. Would you like to add anything else, Seb?
I don't think so. I'm looking forward to a little bit of a break from the old football for a few weeks, and then Women's World Cup in July. I think by the time that comes around, I'll be ready for football again. Feels like the season has lasted for about 2 years, so I need a detox, need to do some other things, maybe just sit outside and, you know, do things other than football.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Do you know what the downside of the Women's World Cup is for us is that it is in Australia, so
difficult time zone.
Game times are going to be a bit odd, aren't they? Do you know what what the game times are for us here in the UK?
Yeah, they'll be inverted. I don't know what they are in the UK, but it'll be quite similar to, do you remember the 2002 World Cup, the South Korea and
Japan?
Oh,
that was so much fun.
That was kind of weird, right?
I really liked that we watched them at school.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm into it. Maybe my new thing is waking up early to watch football. That could be fun. By the time it's 4 p.m., I'm just done. I don't want to do anything. But 10
and
in the
that
morning,
means like just in life, you kind of beyond, sure. You know, yeah.
Well, it's 11 a.m. now and I'm already feeling tired.
Yeah, we'll call it a day, right?
Yeah. All right. Listen, thanks everybody for listening to today's episode. Like we said, check out Stadio, listen to the Totally Football Show as well. We'll be back in about 10 days with more. But until then, I don't know when the next time you'll hear from Seb is, but it'll be before the end of the year, we promise. Chat to you all soon. Ta-ra, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.